Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. Mark Reardon.
The heart of America is not government. The center of America is not Washington, D.C. The center of America is the neighborhoods where 330 million Americans are raising their kids and trying to put food on the table and trying to love their neighbors.
Mark Reardon.
There's nothing worse than a reckless jackass who thinks he's smarter than everybody else.
I am the smartest man alive!
The Mark Reardon Show is on now.
And in about 15 minutes ago, everything on this show changed, Sue Thomas. And I'm guessing a lot of people are not caught up, but there is a battle that is going on right now in real time between Donald Trump and Elon Musk that is, I don't even know how to describe it, but pop the popcorn, ladies and gentlemen. Here's the latest one. This is from about an hour ago, but I have to kind of go back in the timeline. He said, because Trump actually said something earlier today, he finally came out. We hadn't seen him since Elon was in the Oval Office, and it seemed to be that they made nice, and then Elon drops his tweet from a couple of days ago talking about the big, beautiful bill. It's an abomination, et cetera. So Trump's asked about some of this today, and he's, you know, it's interesting. I was telling Fred, I thought to myself, we always complained about President Trump, some of us. You know, one of the reasons I didn't like him originally as the presidential candidate or the president is because his behavior was sophomoric, right? He would say things that you would think a third grader would say, and he would get nasty and all this stuff. He'd call names, et cetera. I wasn't a big fan of that, and I probably am still not a big fan of that. But he seemed to be taking the high road with Elon Musk. And here's, Fred, this is from today, right?
Yeah, these are from this.
He says this.
He never had a problem until right after he left. And if you saw the statements he made about me, which I'm sure you can get very easily, it's very fresh on tape. He said the most beautiful things about me. And he hasn't said bad about me personally, but I'm sure that'll be next.
He's not wrong about that. So on Truth Social, Trump says Elon was, quote, wearing thin. I asked him to leave. I took away his EV mandate. That forced everyone to buy electric cars that nobody else wanted, that he knew for months I was going to do, and he just went crazy. And then Elon's response, this is just from an hour ago, is such an obvious lie, so sad. So then there's another one where he tweets, and there's this guy, Eric Berger. Oh, okay. So Caitlin Collins at CNN says, as their blow-up escalates, Trump suggests terminating Musk's federal contracts. So he says, this is earlier on Truth Social, the easiest way to save money in our budget, billions and billions, is to terminate Elon's governmental subsidies and contracts. I was always surprised that Biden didn't do it. Now, here, what I will tell you, and some people certainly remember that, when he comes into the Doge fray, there were a lot of people, certainly on the left, that said, look, Elon gets all this money from the federal government, right? What's going on here? So somebody out there and this is who Elon retweeted, a guy by the name of Eric Berger. I don't know who he is. He goes by SciGuy Space. This would both end the International Space Station and simultaneously provide no way to safely deorbit it if, in fact, you know, you have the defunding. So then Elon says time, this is from about an hour ago, time to drop the really big bomb. Real Donald Trump is in the Epstein files. That's the real reason they have not been made public. Have a nice day, DJT, exclamation point. And then he says, mark this post for the future. The truth will come out. So this is getting crazy. Let's see here. I'm trying to go back in the timeline because this is kind of happening in real time. One of the things that he was tweeting about just a couple hours ago is about the budget. You know, he's certainly making valid points about the reckless spending, but he's retweeting people that are saying, look, the interest, and this is, you know, ridiculous. And I think we all know it's ridiculous, and we'll see what the response is from Mike Johnson and a lot of the others as well. So the interest costs that we're paying on the federal debt alone in 2022 was $719 billion. In 2023, $883 billion. In 2024, $1.13 trillion. And Elon says Congress is spending America into bankruptcy. Well, we certainly, you know that that's probably true. So somebody then puts up a poll and he retweets it and says, who is right? Elon Musk, Donald Trump. Let's see. Let's just vote for Elon Musk and see where that is right now. Well, 76% say Elon Musk. 24%, I even voted Elon Musk there. And then he says, he goes back to a tweet here where he's talking about Jared Isaacman. I'm delighted to nominate, this goes back to December of 2024. I'm delighted to nominate Jared Isaacman, an accomplished business leader, philanthropist, pilot, astronaut, as the administrator of NASA. Jared will drive NASA's mission of discovery and inspiration, paving the way for groundbreaking achievements in the space. Let's see what happens. And I'm sure, not sure what that relates to when it comes to this particular, sorry, because this is happening so quickly. It is crazy. So Mike Johnson, he goes to 2018. This is February of 2018. Elon Musk retweets Mike Johnson, who says, at some point, Congress has to stop this endless cycle of out-of-control deficit spending. The picture with Mike Johnson is actually very interesting because he looks like he's just about, you know, 30 years old at the time. He's a young-looking guy anyway. So Elon, this is, I mean, the guy is going crazy here this afternoon. He says to that tweet, I super agree with this guy. So he keeps going on and on. If I go back in the timeline here, he's like, where is this Mike Johnson of 2023? Where in 2023, Mike Johnson said the federal debt has just topped $31.4 trillion. And the Congressional Budget Office now estimates federal spending for the fiscal year of 2023 will total $6.2 trillion. So he's basically saying, hey, Mike Johnson, I liked you back then. Where are you right now? So I don't know how many times, and he's the guy who owns the platform, so he can tweet as much as possible. But it's almost like we need, Fred, it's almost like we need Ethan. Ethan, are you ready for this afternoon? To track this in you know, real time to see what else comes out today. The latest one, well, he pinned this one. Okay, so this is that. You know how you do that, Sue?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
At the top of his page, and this is from a couple of hours ago, he says, is it time to create a new political party in America that actually represents the 80% in the middle? I would say, yeah. I mean, I've been saying that for a long time. But where's the path to do that? Because the parties have such a stranglehold. So let's vote on that one. Let's say yes. 82% to 18%, right? It's not even close.
Yeah.
But the one that's crazy is the Epstein files thing. Now, a lot of people thought that maybe Trump was in the Epstein files anyway, but is that the reason they're not coming out? So I don't know. And I'm not on Truth Social, Fred. Are you?
No.
So we're going to have to count on people that are posting this. And I'm guessing that we're not done for the day. And the latest tweet seems to be the one. Let me just repeat it here. It says, time to drop the really big bomb. Trump is in the Epstein files. That's the real reason they have not been made public. Have a nice day, DJT, exclamation point. Mark this post for the future. The truth will come out. That looks like it's the very latest.
I have a question. Weren't we also supposed to see not only the Epstein files, but the JFK info and the RFK?
Yeah.
Have we gotten any of that either?
In theory, but I don't know anything that really amounted to that. Now, I've mentioned this Constantine Kissin guy. I like him a lot. I really like Constantine Kissin. He's a British satirist and, you know, political pundit, if you will. he's retweeting and he's posting things in connection with Elon's tweets. So Constantine Kissin said, please double your security immediately. Then Sasha Stone. Sasha is someone that I've talked about. Fred, you remember.
Right.
Sasha is a person who, you know, her real life was running this this Hollywood awards Oscar handicapping site, right? And I knew her in a different lifetime to a certain extent, because if you go back to the 2000s, she was very active in the organization. I was in the Critics' Choice. It was the Broadcast Film Critics at the time. They would post things on that website. I fed her some information, truth be told, just like anonymously from the Broadcast Film Critics in some perspective. And she would respond every once in a while. It's not like we had a relationship. And then she got so crazy out there in the aftermath of Bush that, and I've rarely, if ever, done this, but I unfriended her on Facebook because she was going nuts. So she's actually someone who, along the lines of, I see Matt Taibbi's in this category as well, and a couple of the other really, really left-wing people, they crossed over in the era that led up to certainly COVID and started fighting on the other side. We're very concerned about the freedom of, you know, press information, and, you know, people that were left-wing, I mean, loony left-wing for their entire lives kind of came over. There's people that are not as loony left-wing, like I would include Batya Unger-Sargon in that category, where she's a lefty. I don't know, though. I don't know enough about Batya where she was like 10 years ago. So she tweets, and I would agree with her. Thanks a lot, Elon. All of your work to protect kids from gender-affirming care and the woke mind virus doesn't matter because, wah, thanks a lot. You mark this tweet when the Democrats take back power, because he's got a trans child, right? Isn't it? So she's actually, I don't even know if she's firing back at him or if she's complimenting him. That's how crazy this has gotten right now. So I think this is very interesting. I don't know how Trump responds. Here's another one from Ian Miles Chung. I follow him on Twitter. He's got a lot of followers. He tweets, President versus Elon. Who wins? My money is on Elon. Trump should be impeached and J.D. Vance should replace him. And then Elon, just a minute ago, okay, that's why I said, should we just do the whole show with Elon Musk tweets? We probably could do that here this afternoon. 1 minute ago, to the question, should President Trump be impeached and J.D. Vance should replace him? Elon Musk says yes. So, ladies and gentlemen, pop the popcorn if you haven't already. Josh Hammer is going to join us next. Holy moly. I think it's going to get interesting this afternoon. Hang in there.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music,
or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I mean, I'm trying to keep up with all this stuff with Elon Musk. So just a few minutes ago, like as we were starting the show, he says, in light of the president's statement about cancellation of my government contracts, SpaceX will begin decommissioning its Dragon spacecraft immediately. Right after that, somebody says, and I don't think it's anybody, it's just somebody that, you know, weighed in on this, the world's greatest fiction writers couldn't have conceived of a timeline like this. And he says, with 100% little emoji and a little laughter emoji. And then when, if you go up here a little bit, somebody actually chimes in and says, the relationship between Trump and Epstein is well established, which is kind of true. I think we knew that there was a relationship.
Yes.
It's not clear whether he ever went to the island. And then they're quoting things about what Trump said about Epstein. So, you know, maybe I should just press refresh here, because if you do that, you're going to find that something's even more updated. I'm going to welcome Josh Hammer into the show this afternoon, Newsweek senior editor at large. He hosts the Josh Hammer Show Saturdays at 1 p.m. here on 97.1 FM Talk. Have you checked any of this out? Are you watching any of this happen here this afternoon?
Mark, like you, my friend, I am just observing in real time and trying to figure out what the heck to make of it all.
I don't know what to make of it all. I really don't, because you can't tell me that even by the end, my show wraps up at 6, that by the end of, you know, the show, this isn't going to get a lot nastier, right?
Well, the latest, I kind of just hopped on here. I don't know what exactly you've been talking about, but I mean, this Epstein files thing is, shall we say, a bit of an escalation. I mean, to put it mildly,
he's actually calling for Trump's impeachment at this point, and that J.D. Vance replace him. Now, if we talk about the politics of all this just for a moment, and this is, you know, again in real time, we don't even know what's going to happen next. The Democrats have already seized on this when it comes to his position on the Big Beautiful Bill. They're saying, look, we agree with Elon. Now, we know that they would love to spend more money, which is kind of ironic, but they're going to use this against the Republicans. I don't know where this leaves the Big Beautiful Bill. I'm not sure of your opinion on that. Let's maybe start there, Josh. What's your opinion of that bill?
Well, I think the bill's going to pass, and we'll see what happens when it comes to efforts to try to get additional spending. I mean, that's obviously where Elon is coming from. I mean, I think that's where a lot of us are coming from, Mark, is this bill definitely could do a lot more when it comes to more upfront savings. That's why strong fiscal conservatives, folks like Chip Roy in Texas, that's why many of them were skeptical, if not no votes, on the first iteration of this thing. But having said that, Mike Johnson does have an exceedingly narrow majority in the U.S. House. Politics is politics, and it kind of is what it is. And to be clear, there's a lot of victories here when it comes to the conservative agenda, things like defunding Planned Parenthood that conservatives have wanted for literally decades. So I do hope that the bill passes. I think that is going to pass, because ultimately, Mark, at the end of the day, this is Donald Trump's party. Donald Trump is the one who was elected by the people of America, Republican and independent voter alike. Elon Musk was not elected to anything. Yes, he was a massive figure on the campaign trail. He spent God knows how much money trying to get, and indeed successfully helping to get, Donald Trump elected there. But he's not the elected president. Donald Trump is, and the Republican Party in particular is really Donald Trump's party right now, I think.
So we'll keep tracking this, but let me take you to where we were going to talk about things here this afternoon. I don't know if you read the piece or if you know Mark Oppenheimer, who wrote in the Wall Street Journal this morning. He's a St. Louis guy here at Washington University. And what he said in his piece in the Journal is, since the advent of what we might call the new anti-Semitic terror, beginning with the Tree of Life synagogue massacre in 2018 in Pittsburgh, many Jews have comforted themselves, if one can call it comfort, by believing that anti-Semites are clustered at just one end of the political spectrum. And his point is, you know, which has meant that the other side or the other end is safe. Liberals pointed to the attacks in Pittsburgh and in California, perpetrated by white supremacist zealots. Conservatives pointed to the wave of street violence against Jews in Brooklyn, perpetrated by black men and, in their view, ignored by the left. And he said to anti-Semitic rhetoric on campuses, along with the tendency of DEI ideology to promote safe spaces for everyone except for Jews. But he pointed toward these attacks in D.C. and Boulder and says it's past the time to abandon the fantasy that your side, whatever it is, doesn't have an anti-Semitism problem. I'm guessing you might agree with that.
Well, I do agree with that. I hadn't seen the piece, but I do agree with that. I mean, Mark, look, anti-Semitism is the world's oldest bigotry. It's the oldest and most lethal form of bigotry, but it's the oldest bigotry because it infamously has no rational cause or explanation. And if there's anything that we can say about a common denominator that ties all the various strands of anti-Semitism of the earth. So people have hated the Jews for purported theological reasons, purported racial reasons, purported economic reasons. All of it ultimately, if there's anything that there's a common denominator, it is the refusal of the Jews to fully assimilate. That's the entire purpose of Jewish particularism. Obviously, Christianity has a different view of particularism versus universalism. Really neither here nor there for present purposes. But yes, we kind of went through a bit of an era where over the past 10, 15 years, it was the American left that was overwhelmingly responsible for anti-Semitism in this country, in the Western world. And to be sure, they definitely are the source of most of the anti-Semitism and indeed anti-Americanism and anti-Westernism that we face these days. But there are increasingly obvious and difficult to ignore strands of thought.
Yeah.
There definitely has been a renewed surge of right-wing or right-wing adjacent anti-Semitism, and really on the extremes, even right-wing anti-Americanism. There are some folks, I think, Mark, who make this analytical error whereby they conflate American elites with America itself. So they start hating the elites of America so much that they then start hating America and actively cheering on its enemies. These are the folks who are typically dabbling in anti-Semitism of one stripe or another as well. It's really unfortunate stuff.
So, you know, I think, and Sue and I have talked about this time and time again, I feel like a lot of the anti-Semitism is just, it's shocking to me how much has existed in the last couple of years. Now, he, in this piece, he talks about Joe Rogan. I've not listened to Joe Rogan very much. I heard the Trump interview, but he talks about how he had a guest on who believes the Jews were behind 9/11 and said last month, if you talk about Jewish people, they're going to remove you from everything because the Jews run everything. So you got a guy like that that's given a very big platform. I don't think he can be definitely not necessarily put on the right or left because he's all over the place. But, you know, I had a friend of mine, and I want to be careful about the identity, who was telling me about a business partner that they had at a conference. And this person brought up the horrific attack in Boulder. And the response by the business partner was, well, you know, it's kind of like, well, you know, these things happen, which was just stunning to the person that I'm talking about. But I guess it's a little bit more prevalent than some of us thought.
Yeah, I guess an illegal alien who overstayed a visa and decides to, without wearing a shirt, take out a flamethrower and Molotov cocktail a bunch of Holocaust survivor Jews. I guess these things just happen. Yeah, I mean, that's not the America that I was raised in, Mark. On a very fundamental level, that is not the America that I, as an American patriot Jew myself, that is not the country that I was raised in. And I sincerely hope that is not something that we ever just simply accept as the norm in this country. Now, the Trump administration, to their credit, they take domestic anti-Semitism extremely seriously. So Harmony Dillon, who heads up the DOJ Office of Civil Rights, is really, really on top of this. Leo Terrell, who is heading up the anti-Semitism task force, he's really, really taking it seriously. They're basically chomping at the bit for more cases to bring when it comes to trying to prosecute anti-Semitism. But more generally speaking, the rhetoric on a lot of these issues, the way that people talk about these issues, and again, it's not just coming from the left. You do have people like Candace Owens. I mean, maybe more controversially, but I'll just say it. I think Tucker Carlson is playing into this.
Yeah, I think
as
so
well.
Too. I think so too.
It's bad. It's really bad. And the rhetoric is really, I think, ultimately really trying to incite people to commit some of these terrible crimes.
All right, Josh Hammer, let me take it back to Doge and everything. And just for a moment, remove the war that's going on currently in real time on Twitter with Elon Musk. You wrote about Doge in the LA Times, and we kind of touched on this at the beginning of the interview. One of the things that I've indicated, and I've said this repeatedly, and this is consistent with my record over the decades, is we really cannot get to any kind of serious discussion about this unless we address the entitlements. President Trump has ruled those off the table. I don't know if Elon has specifically weighed in on that, but you wrote in the LA Times about real fiscal change. What else needs to do? Doge was a good start. Where do they go from here, and can they achieve it?
Well, there's going to have to be a follow-on bill. And that's going to have to happen, I guess, after the big, beautiful bill, because Congress and the White House, they can really only focus on one major legislative initiative at a time. But there's going to have to be a follow-on bill to try to codify the Doge rescissions into law, because the big, beautiful bill does not touch anything that Doge did. Part of that is due to fear of the Senate parliamentarian stripping it from the legislation. That kind of gets into arcane Senate procedure. But long story short, what Doge did was they identified waste in currently appropriated spending. So it's essentially they're trying to rescind that which has already been appropriated. Now, Congress can obviously cut this moving forward when it comes to prospective spending. But in order to have a separate rescission bill, that's going to have to ultimately emanate from the White House Office of Management Budget and Russ Vogt, who runs an office there. So we're going to have a follow-on bill. I am cautiously optimistic, Mark, based on what I'm hearing, that bill is going to be something that happens over the next few months. That's what I hear from sources in D.C. But who knows how much this Trump must drama will throw under the bus.
Things have changed. So here's the latest. Just since we were talking, he's like predicting the Trump tariffs will cause a recession in the second half of this year. So this battle is just starting, Josh Hammer. You know, sit back, pop the popcorn, and get ready for this. But I appreciate you joining me this afternoon.
Always a pleasure, my
friend.
All right,
take care. You know, we're going to try to fit in other stuff here this afternoon. General Keith Kellogg is going to join us. This thing that happened with Ukraine and Russia and the attack, the drone attack, it's nuts. It really is. I said yesterday, it's like a movie script. So is what's happening today on the X formerly Twitter. We got General Kellogg coming up. Hang in there.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I mean, I'm really kind of speechless here this afternoon because this has gotten so crazy with Elon Musk versus Trump. And Trump, obviously, he's posting things on Truth Social. We had him at an event. I'm not sure where he was. There was a White House event this morning, and he was just speaking a short time ago. But I don't think he was addressing any of this. And if he does, we'll certainly have the very latest. Let me kind of set up the show from here. We're trying to get General Kellogg on the line. I don't know if that we're
still
not
working on
yeah, we're working on that right now. This might be one of those days that kind of goes off the rails like yesterday, Sue. We have a Thursday edition of Sue's News in the next hour. Also, I'm going to visit with Brian Ping from KNX in Los Angeles because have you followed anything about the minimum wage at the hotels and the airport?
No.
Well, it's pretty nuts what they're doing because they're trying to raise the minimum wage in the next couple of years to $30 an hour and then an extra $8.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, yeah. So what some of the hotels are saying is, okay, well, we're not going to play by those rules. They're not saying they're not going to pay it because they may be forced to by the LA City Council. What they're saying is, you know how you reserve blocks of rooms and things like that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they're saying, look, we may not be able to abide by those particular reservations. So where does that leave people? Where does that leave corporate, not even corporate America, but the world? If they're trying to get hotel rooms at the Hilton or wherever in Los Angeles, and they say, look, we can't reserve rooms for you. So this has become a crazy, crazy fight that is not, you know, completely altogether undifferent than what's going on in real time here with Elon Musk. I guess we're not going to get General Kellogg on the line. Let me play a little bit about what Trump said earlier, and then we'll, you know, back up into the situation with the tweets. So he said this at the White House event this morning. He was with the German chancellor. So questions came up, obviously, and this was the first time that President Trump addressed it.
He never had a problem until right after he left. And if you saw the statements he made about me, which I'm sure you can get very easily, it's very fresh on tape. He said the most beautiful things about me. And he hasn't said bad about me personally, but I'm sure that'll be next.
Well, yeah, it is next. He also said this about Elon.
I'd rather have him criticize me than the bill because the bill is incredible. I'm very disappointed because Elon knew the inner workings of this bill better than almost anybody sitting here. Better than you people. He knew everything about it. He had no problem with it. All of a sudden, he had a problem. And he only developed the problem when he found out that we're going to have to cut the EV mandate because that's billions and billions of dollars.
So one of the things, honestly, I was watching that in real time earlier today, and I sent myself an email, Sue. I think I referenced this at the beginning of the show because I thought about how presidential that seemed. It wasn't Trump. You know, he can be nasty in that room to reporters. And by the way, I support a lot of that because some of these reporters are so embarrassing. But in that moment, he was somewhat respectful. And I think you saw him in the Oval Office last week. He was appreciative of what Elon brought to the campaign. I think he did bring certainly a lot of people over to Trump. And I don't know that I would say that he helped win Trump or he sealed the deal for Trump. Maybe he did. I don't know. There's different aspects of that. You know, Joe Rogan played a big role, right?
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of things. Kamala Harris being a terrible, terrible candidate played a big role. But it seemingly has stopped with the last tweet that says the Trump tariffs will cause a recession in the second half of this year. He's already retweeting. He's retweeting something with Scott Adams, who does a podcast as well. But let me back up for those people who are just joining us. And I haven't gone to the, you know, the beginning of the timeline here, but he's been very actively tweeting about members of Congress. So Tom Massey, who, you know, I didn't even bring Tom Massey up to Josh Hammer. I probably should have. He's one of the outlier Republicans in Kentucky. And he's been tweeting about Gaza and about the Palestinians. And he's totally against any support for Israel because he's empathetic more so. And Tom Massey's more of a hard right-wing Republican when it comes to fiscal sanity, I think. Jennings would be a good person to ask about that. But he's tweeting, the House has a 72-hour rule, which requires the bill to be posted 72 hours before passage. But the Speaker circumvented this rule with a manager's amendment that rewrote and added, I got to click on this, and added substantial portions of the bill. The problem is on Twitter, what happens is when you retweet someone, you can only see a portion of the tweet.
Exactly.
Then you got to open up the other tweet.
Yes.
So let me just gather my thoughts again. But the Speaker circumvented this rule with the manager's amendment that rewrote and added substantial portions of the bill as it went through the Rules Committee the night the bill was passed. There's another House rule which requires a day to pass before voting on a bill after the Rules Committee had modified it. Would you believe the House voted to suspend that so-called same-day rule? This means that the final language of the bill was released only a few minutes before the debate began. And that's just nonsense. You know, we've criticized the Democrats for doing that. The vote on the rule change and the vote on the bill followed within a couple of hours. Elon is right. Members of Congress didn't even know what was in this bill until the night it passed. A few other members have also made this clear. So, you know, I think that that's a valid point. It's a valid point in and of itself because we criticized Democrats when they did this in the House. And I even said, you know, even though my choice would be to not have Kamala Harris in here for the Wall Street Journal had an editorial about this today. If we don't do this bill, and maybe they can do something else, it is literally a $4.5 trillion tax increase because of the implications. But I don't think it's a big, beautiful bill. I think it's a bill that unfortunately has to be passed. So Elon, in response to Tom Massey, says not even those in Congress who had to vote on the big, ugly spending bill had time to read it. I think that's a valid criticism. Then he goes on a couple hours ago, and you know, this is a moment for John Thune. John Thune is the you know, the Senate leader now, taking over for Mitch McConnell. He's more of an establishment Republican. I don't think John Thune is altogether different than Mitch McConnell. What we're learning, though, is this is what happens in Washington. So he retweets something from 2020 where Senator Thune says, our nation is deeply, deeply in debt right now. Next year, our country will owe more than what we produced for the first time since the end of World War II. And that was in 2020, right? And things have gotten progressively worse here over the last 4 years. So Elon's question is, where is the John Thune of 2020? Then there's Speaker Johnson, where, you know, he retweets that from 2018, where he says at some point Congress has to stop this endless cycle of out of control deficit. And he says, I super agree with this guy. His next tweet is Congress is spending America into bankruptcy. Then he puts the poll up that says who's right, Elon Musk and Donald Trump. That's running very heavily for Elon Musk right now. He pulled the nomination of Jared Isaacson, who was going to be NASA. And then Elon retweets, this is what he had said at that point, and that was in 2024. Then he gets to Constantine Kissin and retweeting him. And Constantine Kissin, and I'm a fan of his, I played his audio before, I really do. He says, what Elon Musk is doing is genuinely heroic. He will win no friends in politics and will be ostracized by the current administration, but he's totally right. We, the entire Western world, simply cannot go on pretending our way of life is sustainable. And Kissin goes on to say, historically, countries build up surpluses in peacetime and then go into debt to fight wars, right? We are going into more and more debt during the peacetime. Clever economists will tell you this is sustainable. And let me just say this. They've been saying this for decades, you know, ever since the Reagan era. I remember, you know, I remember some of these discussions in the 80s and in the 90s and in the early 2000s. And you still have economists on one side or the other. I don't know if there's consistency with the political ideology that will say, oh, you know what? It's okay. We can print more money. It's not sustainable. And someone has to do something about it. Now, I have to stop here because I don't see Elon addressing the realities of the budget. This is the point I was trying to make a couple of days ago. You have to address the entitlements. No one is willing to do that. And I don't know if Elon even understands that. So when President Trump fires back on Truth Social and says, and this is sort of what he was saying earlier, he says, Elon was wearing thin. I asked him to leave. I took away his EV mandate that forced everyone to buy electric cars that nobody else wanted. He knew that for months that I was going to do that. And he went crazy. Elon says that's a lie. Such an obvious lie. So sad. So this Eric Berger guy then says this would both end because what Trump says is the easiest way to save money in our budget, billions and billions of dollars, is to terminate Elon's governmental subsidies and contracts. I was always surprised that Biden didn't do it. Well, let's just take that right there. So if that's true, if Donald Trump feels that way about the mandates, well, why didn't he say that at the beginning of this process? And why did he appoint Elon to the DOGE position to begin with? Because as you remember, and this is where this is going to play into the Democrats' hands, the Democrats are going to say, look, we told you so, right? We've been talking about this all along. So that's when Caitlin Collins from CNN says, as their blow up escalates, Trump suggests terminating the federal contracts. somebody says this would both end the International Space Station and simultaneously provide no way, you know, to deorbit it. That's when he gets...
That's scary, too,
by the way. Is. So that's when he gets to what he says is the big bomb. And this is from just about an hour, a little bit more than an hour ago. Time to drop the really big bomb. Real Donald Trump is in the Epstein files. That is the real reason they have not been made public. Have a nice day, DJT! Exclamation point. Again, I think a lot of people certainly theorized that he was in the Epstein files. The question is, how nasty did it get? What was he doing? I mean, there's some of that stuff is just disgusting, right?
He's been associated with it before, but a lot of people have. In what context?
Right. We don't know to what extent. Yes. And we don't know to what extent a lot of these people have been connected with that. Is that being covered up? So then when he threatens, when the president, see, this is where it gets very difficult. And this is one of the things I even wrote to myself earlier. There are very few people that live in a world that's above President Trump, right? Elon Musk, to a certain extent, does. He lives in a world, certainly financially and when it comes to impact, and, you know, he's got gazillions of followers. He runs X. So when you get into a battle with the president of the United States, you're usually going to lose that battle, right? I think the case can be made with Trump. Typically, people lose that battle. I don't know if you can say Elon Musk is going to lose that battle. Stay tuned. The popcorn is a-popping. I think we have General Kellogg coming up next because I do want to talk about the drone attack. It's fascinating. You know, if I'm picking favorite songs by Sting, this probably is the one. It's Fragile, not for Gile.
Oh, yeah.
Such a great song, right? So there's so many implications to what's happening today. I have no idea how to get my arms around it. We're going to guide you through it as much as possible. We thought we were going to have General Kellogg on here because I love this story about the drone attack. And, you know, one of the things that I've said about aid for Ukraine is I don't think it's a winnable war for Zelensky. Well, you look at an attack like this and maybe you say maybe it is. On the other hand, couldn't Putin just blow them off the map if he wanted to?
Yep.
Right. So he's going to respond. He told President Trump he's going to respond. How will he respond? But let's get to a couple other things here. We got Sue's News in the next hour. We're going to guide you through it. Don't forget, we have a roundtable tomorrow. That ought to be interesting. Jane Duker will be here. The mayor of Eureka, Sean Flower, and former state senator Jeff Smith will be here as well. So yesterday, Sue, you know, we had this story about KJP. Karine Jean-Pierre announced that she's leaving the Democrat Party. She's writing a tell-all book about the broken administration she served.
Does she ever say, so I was lying the entire time I was in there to the press?
Okay, so this is a perfect, you know, tee up for me with Ducey here today, because let's face it, Peter Ducey, we featured him a lot on this show. He's been a feature on Audio Cut of the Day quite a bit because of his challenges. And we've said this too, to KJP's credit, she called on him a lot, right?
Yeah.
So Ducey's on Fox this morning and he's asked about this and he talks about maybe a dream that he had, right?
No, it's like I had a dream and I opened up the first page of her book about the broken White House and the first sentence says, Peter Ducey told me, and I didn't listen to him.
That is a dream.
It is true.
But she should dedicate the book to you.
And I know we're going to talk about this next hour, but the thing about this book is that she, towards the end, before Biden dropped out, after Biden dropped out, she would say that legitimate questions were misinformation. And I told her once, you can't just call something that you don't like misinformation.
Right.
And so I don't know how she is going to square being the public face of saying things that we now know were not true about the president and about policies.
No,
I don't know how she's now going to come out and say, you know what, just because I swore on camera that things were okay. Actually, here's what was really going on.
So I have a little bit more of Ducey, but there's the book group that's putting this thing out. But Sue, isn't everything ridiculous right now?
You know what? Yes.
Everything.
You're absolutely right.
I haven't even gotten. Have you seen the latest story on our sheriff in St. Louis?
Oh, yeah. He bought a $60,000 truck and he's having budget issues.
Yes. He hired. We were talking about this on the round. I don't even know if we got to it on the round. He hired like 8 lobbyists.
What?
Yeah, like 8 different, you know, you have to, that's all public, right? So you can see who hires and who spends the money in certain ways. I don't think this did come up on the air, because when Jane was here on Friday, she showed me the list of lobbyists.
He hired.
And I said, well, how can he do that?
Yes.
Well, it's he's using his budget to do things like this.
He has budget issues, and he's doing that and buying himself new vehicles?
It's crazy.
Can we get rid of him? Is that even a thing?
Donna Behringer has weighed in, because Donna is the comptroller. But the problem is that he has his own budget, and just like all of government, which is broken. I mean, if there's one theme that should run throughout everything that we're talking about, is government from the local level to the national level is absolutely broken. It really is. I mean, this, how can you be in a situation where that guy is doing that and you can't stop him, right?
Right.
I'm just blown away by that. But let me go back to KJP. So the book group, which is called Hatchet, that, you know, put the news release out on this yesterday, said Jean Pierre didn't come to her decision to be an independent lightly. And they say that this may focus also on, you know, Obama, because she served in both administrations. And she takes us through the 3 weeks that led to Biden abandoning his bid for a second term. Well, I'd like to hear her version of that, wouldn't you? And the betrayal by the Democrat Party that led to his decision. That's what the tease says for that. So, you know, she went up there every day. She lied to people. She should have known what was going on, but she's going to actually rip the Democrats. Isn't that the interpretation? She's going to rip the Democrats for throwing Biden under the bus, and she's not going to rip herself or anyone else that was lying to the American people. We haven't even got to the auto pen today. There's interesting aspects of the auto pen, but here's a little bit more of what Ducey said.
Before Karine Jean-Pierre was the White House press secretary, remember that she was the spokesperson for MoveOn.org, which is a very progressive political organization. Now she wants us to believe that she's had some kind of an epiphany and that she will no longer be as hostile to Republican lawmakers that she called MAGA Republicans, and she didn't mean it as a compliment, who don't respect the rule of law. And she says this because she claims now to be an independent.
That, I mean, you cannot make any of this up. Hollywood should be writing this stuff down, because can you even imagine, like, realistically, let me ask this question. Let's fast forward. We'll be off the planet, Sue, 3 decades from now,
yes,
right? There's going to be someone in Hollywood that's going to say, hey, let's go back to this Trump era and do a movie about what happened. The script is just writing itself at this point. People are breaking bad on each other left and right. Here's Charlamagne the God on KJP.
Nobody wants to hear from anyone who got up there and lied for the Biden administration. It's like a lot of these folks are having to come to Jesus moment way too late, based off the condition that President Joe Biden was in. And she was somebody that was around him all the time. I feel like it was their duty to tell the American people what was going on. They were the ones that were up close and personal with him all the time. And they all were in on the conspiracy to hide his physical and mental condition from America.
I mean, that's not inaccurate, right? That's absolutely true. So some of this stuff is just getting crazy. We do have General Kellogg in theory after the top of the hour before Sue's News. Sue's News is coming up after that. I got a bunch of things that I wanted to get to here this afternoon that I may or may not be able to cover because of the craziness. Brian Ping, who is a St. Louis native, and he's out at KNX in Los Angeles, does great work out there. We have this minimum wage issue in LA, and then the high-speed rail issue is crazy too, because they're trying to, you know, remove the federal funding for that. Dave Strom at 5:04. A lot going on here this afternoon. Hang in there.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.